Happy Tuesday after the 4th of July, after Independence Day, we should say. Independence Day. So I hope everyone had a restful time over Independence Day with family and friends, and that you got to eat something grilled and see some fireworks.
And eat too much stuff and regret it today? Oh, that's just me.
Oh. With me in studio, I am Chris Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Cy, we thought, was going to be back in this chair this week, but he is under the weather. So pray for him. He's fighting a bug, and he'll be fine. He will recover. But
God willing.
Yes. Well, that's right. Yeah. But of course, I guess we could say that about everything.
Amen. According to St. James. Yes.
Yeah. But I'm Chris Check, president of Catholic Answer, sitting in for Cy Kellett today, tomorrow. Dave Matheson tomorrow and Thursday, and then if need be, I'll be back in the office or back behind this mic on Friday. So we've got the week covered. The show's not going away, even though Cy, or as we affectionately call him, St. Cyril of Oceanside, is not with us, but we hope that he will be soon. But with me in studio, someone who is improving and getting better every day, Tim Staples.
Hey. Great to be with you, man.
Senior apologist at Catholic Answers, or as we refer to him here, as Lazarus.
That's me. I've been raised a few times, I think.
Yeah, but you look great to me right now.
Yeah, and I feel great.
And I caught you on the air last week, and you answered all the questions lucidly and in complete sentences.
And I got a couple of them right.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, that always makes our callers happy, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel, Tim, though, that you could, you know, answer the question, and then people would just... They would just take your word for it. They'd be like, oh, well, Tim Staples.
But was that right or wrong? It's like the guys who speak way over people's heads, and afterward, you know, the old saying is, man, it was a great talk. I have no idea what he said, but it was really good.
It was good. Well, all your talks are good, and they're always delivered with that Pentecostal enthusiasm that you brought from your youth.
I can't help it. I tried to stop it, but it didn't work.
No, that's all right. Holy Ghost power, we call
right.
it. So apart from appearing on Catholic Answers Live and healing from your stroke of the cerebellum, I get that right?
That's right.
Yeah. What else you got going on?
Oh, man. Val and I are going up to speak to a homeschooling conference this weekend. Is that in Murray? Well, what am I looking at Darren for?
He's giving you a blank stare.
That's right. It's somewhere in the Inland Valley up yonder. But yeah, it's exciting, Chris, to get out there again and speak. For the last 3 months, I've been out again, and it feels great getting in front of audiences and sharing. And there's just nothing like face-to-face talking with the folks.
Tim, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about that in a second, but I got to say the number. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH. Open forum at Catholic Answers. Ask Tim Staples any question you want about the Catholic faith, the scripture, the church, saints, sacraments, canon law. Let's try to stump him. Go for it. Devotions, piety, whatever. 888-318-7884. I agree with you, Tim. And by the way, I know, apart from how many souls and hearts you really touch when you're up there behind the microphone, my friends, this man, and it won't surprise you to hear because you can detect his energy on the air if you've never met him, and I know many of you have. This man will stand in the church parking lot until 3 in the morning talking to that one guy who is on the verge of becoming a Catholic but just can't get over the question of justification by faith alone or whatever it is, the Blessed Virgin Mary's perpetual virginity, or although Martin Luther taught that, right?
Yes, he did.
And Tim... we'll just stay there, and you've done this many times.
Yes.
And then we get letters saying, I'm the guy that you stood in the church parking lot with until 3 in the morning, and I want you to know I'm entering the seminary now.
Yes. It is amazing how many times that's happened over the years. And it really goes to show, doesn't it, that Jesus sent them out two by two for a reason. You know, it's really the gospel is propagated in the office. It's at lunch. Hey, let's go talk over a burrito. It's one-on-one, two-on-two, right? That's the way the gospel is propagated. The reason why I'm Catholic, as you know, is right. A Marine. Sergeant Matt Dula, who sat down with me, we became buddies, and we did too much talking on the clock, and we did a lot of talking off the clock as well. And you know, it was a year-long battle, but it was his charity and being the man of God that he was that opened my eyes by the grace of God, and that's why I'm here.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. You know, Tim, that reality of the one-on-one conversation, of the one-on-one the lived example of the Christian life that we share often without, you know, necessarily being conscious of it, but wanting to do it.
Yeah.
This is something that is particularly to the fore of my thinking right now as the conversation, as the national conversation, you can't even call it conversation because it's so marked with vitriol, with anger, with discord about human life.
Yes.
It is being brought back to the fore in the wake of the court's very hopeful decision concerning human life.
And, yeah, Chris, if you think about it, the issues involved are really simple.
They are.
You don't have to be an apologist. You don't have to be a PhD to help folks to see that you don't kill innocent human beings in the womb or anywhere else.
Yes.
All of us, any of us, can enter into this conversation. But really, I think the issue of issues today is we're living in a culture that has greatly rejected, largely rejected God. We see the venom, the anger that you just mentioned.
And it is
really,
venom.
You realize that this kind of fight that we're engaged in is not won by the face-to-face conversation. It really is one on your knees.
Yes.
It's really one in prayer.
And fasting.
Prayer, and this kind cometh not out except by much prayer. And fasting. Yeah. I know that's been taken out of, or many believe that's not in the original manuscript, but it's still true.
Right.
And fasting is the way we overcome this. Our example, our prayers, but you better believe it. In the end, you have to engage intellectually as well.
You do. It's both and doing it in a peaceful way. My friends, Catholic.com is making a special effort right now to put a lot of good work up there from Trent Horn, from Joe Heschmeyer, from Drew Belsky, from the broader Catholic Answers team, just to equip you so that you can have these conversations in a peaceful way. And you know, you're going to walk away from a conversation about human life with your angry second cousin twice removed, and you're going to think, I made no progress.
Right.
And yet you don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing. If you're faithful about it and you give yourself to what the Holy Spirit wants from you and you just be peaceful, and it's okay to say, I don't know. I'll find out. But we're here to help you with that. So,
and one thing to keep in mind, folks, is in the midst of this rage that you see out in our culture, there is an incredible amount of despair. People are lonely. They're lost. They don't know who they are. I mean, this is so obviously manifested where you see a guy with long hair and a perfectly manicured beard and a dress and fake breasts. There's something going on here, right? I mean, it's so obvious that there's deep problems here. But just in general, we live in a culture where people don't know what it is to be a human being anymore. We have a Supreme Court justice that is about to, or was she already put?
Yeah, I think she starts, next month or this month.
Who doesn't know what a woman is?
She said as much. I'm not a biologist.
I guess, right? You don't need to be a biologist to know what a woman is. But, and not to pick on Ketanji Brown Jackson because it's so easy, but she didn't know the background of Dred Scott.
Right.
You know, she's asked the question, And, well, I don't really know. I'd have to do some research. Oh, my goodness. And you're going to be a Supreme. This is our age, Chris. You know, it's incredible. But the bottom line is folks are hurting. Folks need Jesus. And there's never been a more important time for us to share Jesus with people, help people to see, you know what? Jesus loves you. Jesus really did live. He really did die. He was resurrected from the dead. That's a historical fact. Let me share this with you because I have a relationship with Jesus and I'd like to share him with you. And that simple conversation could be the life changer for literally millions of people if somebody will engage them.
And that's what our Lord wants us to do. And your point is especially well taken, Tim, because if somebody's coming at you with rage and venom and vitriol and acrimony, it's probably because they have something deeply broken inside of them. And so a little bit, frankly, a little bit of pity, a little bit of compassion, and we're gonna move hearts. The Holy Spirit is gonna use us to move hearts. Let's try to get one question in here before the break. Ryan in Midland, Texas, listening. Ryan, I love you. You put the Catholic Answers Live app on your phone, and so you can hear the show wherever you go. Even if you go to Mars, you'll be able to hear it. Ryan in Midland, Texas, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
And I appreciate what you said. I listen to you guys even when I'm cutting my grass.
All right.
They grow grass out there in Midland, Texas? I thought it was all oil fields out there.
Oh, yeah, plenty of oil fields. No rain either.
What's your question, brother?
All right. Tim, I was wondering, does Judaism believe in hell, the devil, or the Antichrist? I asked because I was reading the beginning of Job, and I was trying to figure out whether or not the Jews at that time knew that the term Satan refers to an evil demonic figure.
Right. You know, it's funny you asked that, and I know my wife's listening right now. A few years ago, we were blessed to run into, we were just in a restaurant with a bunch of our kids, and I ran into this old rabbi. He was an Orthodox Jew. I mean, he's the hardcore Jew, the kind that still believes in God, right? Because I don't know if you know this, Ryan, there is a great, vast difference between your average, let's say, conservative Jew or liberal Jew and an Orthodox Jew, or the Hasidic Jews, you know, the guys with the curly Qs.
Right, the ringlets.
You know, we had a fascinating conversation. We got into the Old Testament, and by the time we were done talking, he was there with his wife, really old. He was fluent in Hebrew. And he said to me, I'll never forget, he said, I've never run into somebody that knows the Old a Christian who knows the Old Testament like you do. And I said, well, yeah, I've been at it for a while. And then he agreed, Chris, you're going to die on this. He wanted to teach me Hebrew because I said, yeah, that's one thing I missed. I got Greek and Latin, but I never got my Hebrew. I just dabbled in it. And he said, I will straighten this out. We'll get together. And I got his number, but we never followed up. But I'll tell you what, Ryan, when you meet a real Jew like that who is an Orthodox Jew, Hasidic Jews, these that are really intense, they are so close to us. Their liturgies are close to us. You know, you go into their synagogue and they've got a tabernacle right in the middle. Of course, what they have is the Torah inside of it, right? We have the Word made flesh in our tabernacle. There is it's incredible the similarities. And yes, he believed in the devil. He believed in demonic activity and such. But of course, he wouldn't believe in the Antichrist, part of your question, because of course he doesn't believe the Messiah has come. But hell, yes, of a sort. They believe in a kind of hell, a kind of purgatory, though they don't really call it that. You know, but it is. They do believe in a place of torment and such. So. But man, there's like three guys left that still believe. And I'm kidding, Ryan. There's more than that. But the Jewish community has been devastated since the Holocaust, really, in the last 70 years. And of course, I would argue because they missed it on their Messiah 2,000 years ago. That's where, you know, they made that divergence that, in a sense, they're still paying for. But yeah, there's very few Jews today who even believe in God. But when, like I said, you run into the real Orthodox Jews that are hardcore, they certainly do. I hope that gets out an answer, Ryan.
Ryan, we got to go to a break. I appreciate your call. My friends, if you have not heard or seen, I should say, live and incarnate Tim Staples speak, he will be on the stage at this year's Catholic Answers Conference, September 22 to 25. The Eucharist, I am with you always. And the good news is that we have extended the deadline on the early bird special for the conference to Sunday, July 31st. So you can save $50 on your ticket when you go to CatholicAnswersConference.com and register using the promo code EARLY. Tim, our conference is it's just the best Catholic party of the year.
It really is. It's extraordinary, and it just seems to get better every year. And, of course, you have the Catholic Answers team, you know, with guys that were – I look at Carlo Bussard and Trent Horn and now Joe Heschmeyer. I mean, these are some of the best guys. Not only are they the best apologists, but they're just some of the best guys you're ever going to meet. And that's one of the blessings about this conference. It's not only – that you're going to hear these incredible minds, except for the Staples guy. Other than that, they're really good.
Well, we will hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
I get where you were going there.
but you know, you hear these guys speak. It's amazing. But we get to face-to-face. You know, we have a Q&A session. We get to sit down with folks.
Two broadcasts of the radio program.
It's and priceless.
The apologists are out there at the coffee breaks. They're mingling around the vendor hall. You get to visit with them all day. I mean, I'm not the kind of person who takes selfies, Tim, but I know that if somebody wants to take a selfie with you, you will smile for that.
Absolutely.
CatholicAnswersConference.com, San Diego, California, September 22 to 25. Save $50 with the promo code EARLY, expires July 31st, right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Faith is a precious gift from God. As the largest religious media network in the world, EWTN has an important role in educating others about our Catholic faith and spreading the good news of salvation. We invite you to explore our numerous pages of historical faith documents, prayers, teachings, and other current issues in Catholicism today. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
Catholic Answers Live. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett. Tim Staples answering questions for the rest of the hour. Tim, let's knock some out here.
All right, brother.
John in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on the watching on Catholic.com. Good for you, John. Thank you very much. But you have a great affiliate there in The Rock. They do a fantastic job. I was just visiting there a couple weeks ago. John, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi. Quick comment before my question. I just think that I pray in front of abortion clinics sometimes, and I try to promote the relationship between Mary and Jesus and infant women considering abortions. And even if they don't, even if they're atheists or they don't believe in God, I'll at least see that there is something very spiritual and very innocent about motherhood.
Amen.
Yeah, well said.
That's a good word, brother.
Yeah. What's your question, John?
The question is, what is the scapular promise and how does one obtain it?
Right. Great question. Well, the promise of the scapular is he who wears, I may not get the words exactly right, but he who wears this will never experience the eternal fires of hell. It's something to that effect. And it's a powerful promise. I recommend the scapular as highly as I possible can. It is a powerhouse of prayer. Now, the way you obtain that promise, though, and you've asked a really important question just in general about Catholic private devotions and such, they always have to be understood in the context of the entire analogy of faith, right? The context of our Catholic faith. And as an analogy, John, I like to use our Blessed Lord from Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Follow me on this, right? Jesus said, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Boy, Chris, there's a whole lot of TV preachers that love that verse. And I got to tell you, when I was Protestant, I was one of them. You know, you preach that. And of course, that's the word of God. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior, and they are powerful. But of course, you don't want to lift them out of context and absolutize them. Because of course, you and I know, John, we also have texts of scripture like 1 John 5:14, where St. John says, "What things soever we ask when we pray, we know that we receive them if they are the will of God," right? He throws that little if in there. And so, you know, other texts of scripture, and we always have to take other texts of scripture, make it clear that this is not like Jesus giving us a blank check, right? That you just write in whatever you want and it's yours. Unfortunately, many Christians interpret it that way. So in the same way, the promise of the scapular and other promises made in private devotions, of course, have to be understood in the context of that greater spirituality. First of all, the Carmelites, who, you know, our Blessed Lord gave us this great gift through that great and ancient religious order, that when you're involved in, when you participate in the scapular, you're participating in all the prayers and sacrifices of all those Carmelites all over the world. You're in a sense, Chris, you know, you're joining with them yes. in prayer. And that is powerful. So you've got all their merits and prayers. And then, of course, in the greater context of the faith, you know, the grace of God is poured out on us. So remember, John, that these promises are there. They are real. This is what Jesus wants to give us through the scapular. He wants to give us the greatest amount of certainty we can this side of the veil to know that we are going to be happy with him forever in the next life. But always in the context of, yes, if, of course, we understand what that scapular means and we join in with the prayers of those wonderful Carmelites, and we're also doing the penance that those Carmelites do in some form in our own lives and such, because everything, all the promises, the greatest promise of all that God gives us is through the Eucharist. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. But that too, that great promise can't be understood in a mechanistic way, because we have to prepare ourselves to receive our Lord well, because as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 29, we can also eat and drink damnation to ourselves if we don't prepare ourselves. So that promise will not only take effect in our lives, but there's another promise that will, and that is we will experience an eternity in hell if we don't cooperate and prepare ourselves. So if we cooperate with those graces of the scapular, you better believe it. The promises are real and they are powerful.
John, is that helpful?
Yep, answers my question. Thank you.
All right.
Great.
Buddy.
John in Berea, Ohio, listening on the rock. Great. John, we'll try to get your question in before the break. Let's see if we can get it answered even.
Okay. Yes. You refer to yourself apologist, and we talk about apologetics.
Yes.
I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I need a definition, because you're not apologizing for anything. You're not apologizing for anything. So therefore, apologetics and apologists mean something different, because you're not apologizing. So
right.
I guess I'm looking for a definition of apologetics.
Hey, that is a great question,
now,
John.
Tim, I actually have seen you apologize from time to time.
Yes, that's right. I apologize quite a bit.
Ask Valerie.
That's right. Ask my wife. But, John, here's the key. The term apologetics comes from a Greek root word, apologia. In fact, that word is found in 1 Peter 3:15, where St. Peter, our first pope, says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts always, and be ready to give everyone a reason for the hope that lies within you, with meekness and with respect." So the reason there is apologia. Classically, both in Greek, and it comes down into Latin as well, apologia, right, does it means a response or a reasoned response to a question. Now, in English, what happened over the centuries is that word kind of got narrowed down to a particular kind of response, right? Where we say, I'm sorry, I messed up. But really, in apologetics, we are apologizing in a classical sense. We're responding given reasons why we believe what we believe. So when you understand the word it was used classically, yeah, we are apologizing. But apologizing in the sense of responding, not in the sense of responding to, oh, man, I messed up, but responding to someone's question about why do you believe what you believe. So the apologetics is the science of giving responses why we believe what we believe.
John, we got to take a break. 888-318-7884. I think of Cardinal Newman, Apologia Pro Vita Sua.
That's
right?
What I was thinking,
100
yes.
some years ago.
Yes.
Right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Can you defend the Church's teaching on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist? Do you desire a deeper relationship with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Join us September 22nd through 25th for the annual Catholic Answers Conference in San Diego. This year's theme is the Eucharist, I am with you always. Featuring all the Catholic Answers speakers and special guest Bishop Thomas Papraki, use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Catholic Answers Live. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Pray for Cy. He is sick, to use the vernacular. But he's going to recover. He's battling a bug, and he's down. So please pray for him. With me in studio, Tim Staples, senior apologist at Catholic Answers. 888-318-7884. Open forum. Any questions you have about the Catholic faith? Mary in New York City, watching on YouTube. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm very, very confused about something in recently been on the news about the abortion issue. I'm hoping you
yes.
can shed some light on this.
Sure.
The bishop, I'm not going to mention names, but you can easily, you know who I'm talking about.
Sure.
The cardinal in San Francisco recently refused to serve communion to a politician because of her pro-choice stance. Over the weekend, and this just happened either Thursday or Friday, just a couple of days ago,
yeah.
that very same politician hopped on a plane to Rome, Italy, met with the Pope,
mm-hmm.
and in front of all the cameras for all to see, the Pope blessed, not only did the Pope bless this person in front of all the news media, then the Pope invited this exact same politician to attend Mass, and during the Mass, although it wasn't personally the Pope, the priest The Pope was presiding over the Mass, but one of the priests served the same politician communion. Right. So my question is, needless to say, this is such mixed messaging, but is the Pope sending a message to the American cardinals to knock it off with the political stuff? Or is the Pope really not being briefed? What is going on? Thank you for taking my question.
Great.
Yeah, Mary, just real quick. Our friend Archbishop Corleone is, in fact, an archbishop. He's not a cardinal, but we know who you're speaking of. And Tim will help sort it out for you.
Sure. Mary, and great question. Really appreciate it. And here's the key. You know, whenever we're talking about issues like this, that now these are matters of discipline. This is a matter of discipline in the church. We're talking about two goods here. And I, Chris and I, we had this conversation about a week ago, didn't we? And I tell you, I so sympathize with Archbishop Corleone because, you know, from his perspective and any bishop's, they're going to stand before Jesus one day and give an account as to how they shepherded the sheep that Jesus gave to them. They have a real responsibility, and they're not going to stand before Pope Francis. They're going to stand before Jesus and give an account. And we know, in fact, I've known Archbishop Corleone for many years. Back when he was an auxiliary here, I interviewed him many times. He was in this office many, many times.
He was a parish priest in San Diego.
Yes, he was. Just a great man of God. And so I sympathize with the fact that he is taking Canon 915 and he's applying it, and I don't think anyone would deny this isn't an example of where Canon 915 can, in fact, be applied. However, the Pope, and understand, it's not a matter of one believes in the Eucharist and one doesn't, right? The Pope's the bad guy and Archbishop Corleone is a good guy. But there's two different ways of looking at this matter. And the Pope has made quite clear, in fact, when he spoke with the American bishops, he urged them that, look, if you're going to do this, you need unanimity on it, because if you only have a few bishops doing it, this is going to be seen as a political football. And you mentioned that nasty P word, Mary, and it is true that the world at large, and to tell you, Chris, I was watching one of my favorite guys, Newsmax. I'm giving away here. I love what's his name, Chris Salcedo. I'm sorry, but I do. But you know, and he's a good Catholic guy. And I heard him say, you know, the Pope is a disgrace, and he doesn't believe in the Eucharist and all this. And I'm going, oh Lord, that's, you know. But Chris, this is the perception with folks. Unfortunately, many who are good sons and daughters of the church, and they see it in a political sort of context, whereas actually what Pope Francis is doing is he's approaching this from a different perspective, a pastoral perspective, not that the other isn't pastoral, but this is a particular way of addressing this situation. And I like to use the example of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29, which I mentioned earlier, where St. Paul says, if anyone eats his bread or drinks his cup unworthily, he eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Now, I kind of put 27 and 29 together there. But if you look at verse 28, St. Paul says, as a result of what he just said, he says, let each man examine his own conscience and so receive, right? It, you know, for St. Paul anyway, it wasn't a matter of we're not going to allow you in the church or to receive communion. You examine yourselves. But he warns, if you receive unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. And then in verse 30, Chris, he goes on to say, and for this reason, many of you are sick and some of you have died. Now, he had some insight that you and I don't. But he saw souls, Chris, and he knew that people are dying as a result of receiving unworthily. And I think so. Here's the issue. It's not a matter of one being right or one being wrong. We're talking about different goods here. We could say good and better. Now, I, Mary, am of the opinion. This is Tim Staples' opinion. I believe public sins should receive public censure. I believe that, and I believe Canon 915 is there for a reason. But that doesn't mean I'm right. That doesn't mean my way is the most prudent. It doesn't mean Archbishop Cordiglione, who happens to agree with my position, right? It doesn't mean that's the more prudent position. The bottom line is, I think what we need, what is so urgent for this hour, is that we proclaim the truth of the matter, that Nancy Pelosi, that Joe Biden, or whether it's Rudy Giuliani or Arnold Schwarzenegger, I don't care if it's a
Dick Durbin.
Dick Durbin, an R or D does not matter. But when you are publicly, as a politician, expressing that you are pro-abortion, you are not in full communion with the church. You should not receive communion. And by the way, Pope Francis just said that in March of last year, just a little over a year ago. Pope Francis, when asked this very question, he said that politicians who support abortion should not receive communion. He said communion is for the community, and they place themselves outside of the community. Please, Mary, tell your friends that. Yes, Pope Francis is Catholic. He says no, but he does not believe it wise to, you know, publicly refuse people when they come into the church. And he has reasons similar to what Pope St. John Paul II did as well. Because if you remember, Chris, he was hammered for the same thing. This person received in the Vatican and all of this. It's not because St. John Paul didn't believe in the Eucharist. It's not because Pope Francis doesn't believe in the Eucharist. There are pastoral reasons for them to say, look, we need to preach the gospel, right? Present it the way St. Paul does. And unfortunately, Chris, what's happened in the case of a guy like that newscaster that I mentioned before, if you don't publicly refuse somebody, somehow that becomes you don't believe in the Eucharist any longer, or, you know, you become, I even heard somebody say, Chris, you become a partaker in their evil by giving them the Eucharist. It's, oh my goodness, we've gone crazy. But the bottom line is, this is a difficult issue in our day. And I pray that the bishops would reconsider and take a more public posture. But the bottom line is, we need to obey our pastors and understand where they're coming from as well.
Mary, your question is a very good one. And one thing, of course, that the Archbishop and the Holy Father do have in common is neither of them wish this to be a question of politics. Archbishop Corleone's motivation had nothing to do with American politics at all. Yes. He's concerned for Nancy Pelosi's soul, and it's good for us to remind ourselves of that. The other thing, of course, is this is exactly, Tim, this is precisely, Mary's question is precisely why we chose a number of months ago, not just the question of Corleone, but understanding the Eucharist generally, to devote our conference in September to the Blessed Sacrament, to the Eucharist, because our relationship with the Eucharist, we could say, and this is a horrible simplification, but we could say it finds expression in our belief and in our devotion and in our relationship with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And is that deep enough? Well, the answer that for everyone listening is no,
right,
including the two of us in this room.
Amen.
The answer is no. And then is our ability to defend this central reality of our faith where it needs to be? Now, I think in your case, but the rest of us—
I'm working on it.
But the rest of us, the answer is no. And this is why we are devoting this year's conference to the Eucharist, because we want you to have a close relationship to Jesus in the Eucharist, and we want you to be better at defending this central reality of our
Amen.
Faith. So, CatholicAnswersConference.com. Save $50 on your registration by using the code EARLY, Early Bird Extended, until July 31st, right back after this.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Catholic Answers Live, Tim Staples. Let's go to Mark in Central Missouri, listening on EWTN Sirius XM 130. Mark, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I am just so blessed, and I wanted to express the fact that I've called in before as a Protestant, but I'm calling in as a Catholic.
Oh, praise God.
Man,
glory.
You just made not our day, but our week, brother.
Yeah, I'd say the whole month. And in fact, Mark, congratulations to you and all your fellow Missourians for being the first state to outlaw abortion.
Yeah.
Right on. I agree with that 100%. I have tell you what, this weekend I had a wonderful Independence weekend, and some Christian friends were here. It was just a wonderful weekend. I really have a wonderful, blessed life. I'll get on with my question because I know you're busy, but I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed listening to all the previous calls. They are such great questions, and your answers are so meaningful to me. I just can't tell you how happy I am.
Thank you, Mark. We're happy, too.
Great. Hey, you know, a few weeks ago, I read the daily Catholic or the daily gospel every morning with my wife, and I don't recall the scripture, but Jesus seemed to answer a question kind of rude, it seemed to me, but I know there's a reason why.
Yes.
But the question was, may I go bury my father? And his answer was, let the dead bury the dead. And I've just been a little confused about that.
Sure.
I mean, is not what I really... It's not as bad as it sounds, but it just seems bad.
Yes, Mark, that is a powerful section there. It's in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, and it's one of my favorite of the entire Gospel of Luke. It's really phenomenal. And the context is, of course, Jesus calling people to the apostolate. And if you go a little deeper behind what's going on here, Mark, that is a powerful text. Because if you remember, one guy comes up to him and says, Lord, I want to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man does not even have a place to lay his head. So notice, the man says, I want to follow you. And Jesus appears to be pushing him away. But is he? No. He's testing, as he does all of us in our lives. Are you sure you want to follow me? Because this is what might be awaiting you. Then another guy comes up and says, Lord, I want to follow you, but first let me bury my father. Jesus ups the ante, and this is your question, Mark. Let me bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. You come follow me. Jesus is here revealing that he is not just a prophet. In fact, let me, real quick, another fellow comes up and says, I want to follow you, but first let me go and say goodbye, straighten things out at the house. And Jesus says, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Mark, if you look at this in the context of the Old Testament prophets, for example, when Elisha was called by Elijah, remember? He asked for permission to go back and straighten out things at the house. And of course, he goes back. He sells his plow, gives his oxen and boils them and gives the food to the people. And then he comes and follows, right? Well, Mark, Jesus is revealing he's more than Elijah. He's more than a prophet. He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. And so his call is absolute because it's not just a man. He is the God-man Jesus Christ. And so his calling is absolute. There's no wiggle room. You drop everything and you follow him because he is God. He is worthy of absolute devotion. That is, of course, the latria of adoration that we give to God alone. And so, Mark, it seems odd because we're not used to, Mark, having God incarnate. You know why? Because it's never happened before until Jesus comes and he makes these claims. Think about this, Mark. When you're reading your Bible, think of how many times Jesus says, for example, in that same chapter in Luke 9:23, this was just 30 verses before, he said, unless a man take up his cross daily and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Moses never asked people to follow Moses. Elijah never asked people to follow Elisha, and et cetera. Jesus is this unique character in all of history who demands absolute devotion to himself because he is God. And so if we put anything, and I'll give you one last verse from Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says, unless a man does not hate, all right, father, mother, brother, sister, wife, lands, etc., he cannot be my disciple. Wait a minute. You talk about radical, Mark. We're supposed to hate our wives. I mean, doesn't Jesus say we at least love our enemies, Chris?
Right, right.
Wouldn't our wife at least be our enemy? No, I'm kidding. But, you know, the bottom line here is he's not literally meaning, you know, to hate them. But what he is saying is nothing can come before him, including wife, brother, lands. Everything must be subservient to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those radical statements, Mark, are there to show us we're talking about God here when we're talking about Jesus.
Mark, a lot of people behind you, but again, praise and thank you to God for coming into the Catholic Church and welcome. And I think the Holy Spirit's going to use you to bring some more along too.
Amen.
Let's go to Tim in Daytona Beach, Florida, watching on Catholic.com, the website of Catholic Answers. Tim, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes.
So I'm in a massage therapy program, and I'm being exposed to some Eastern spirituality in the coursework.
Right.
Sure.
And my question is, how do I approach these topics while I'm in the class, and do you know if there's any science behind applying these techniques when working with a client?
Right. Well, the first thing that comes to mind, Tim, is this is a great opportunity to evangelize, if possible. Now, forgive me. Mm-hmm. That's just Tim Staples. But it is. In these settings and such, I have found, and I can tell you, brother, when I was in college years ago, I had a two-semester honors course with an atheist professor. I wrote about, in fact, in my book, Nuts and Bolts, the chapter on the problem of evil, if you've ever read my book. That's based on actually conversations I had with an atheist philosophy professor, and he and I would really get into it in the class. In fact, Chris, I've never told you this story, but one time he stormed out of the class because we got into it. He went to the library, got a book, and threw it at me.
Oh my God.
He came
that's
back.
That's an effective way to argue.
I'm not recommending this. I'm just saying we got into it. He threw the book at me. He said, "Read this," and we went on and talked about the truth about God. But the bottom line is, at the end of those two semesters, my brother, I had several students thank me for standing up and asking questions respectfully and whatnot, because I had a couple of students say, "You saved my faith during these two semesters." But at any rate, so if possible, not everyone is called to do that in the setting, and I get that, but I just thought I would toss that out there because sometimes these can be great opportunities to evangelize. But at the very least, my friend, you cannot and you should avoid, like the plague, any hint of Eastern spirituality with regard to this, because that's dangerous for your soul and all souls involved. But massage therapy is fine. In fact, I have a chiropractor. Do you know Dr. Amonette?
Yes.
He is awesome. You talk about, if you learn therapy the way Dr. Amonette does it, man, he puts a hurt on you if need be, right, to get the kinks out and that sort of thing. I mean, massage therapy can be very good, but of course it can quickly go awry. So as long as you are in that context of truly massage therapy, I recommend to folks get a good chiropractor, because those guys can really, I've had deep muscle tissue therapy to the point where I'm screaming, your whole shoulder is bruised afterward, but it actually, they tell me, has a therapeutic effect. So the key is this real massage therapy, number one? If you start dabbling in Eastern spiritualism and such, that is not therapeutic massage. It has nothing to do with it. Avoid it.
Tim, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, good. Let's go to Destiny in Colorado watching on YouTube. Welcome, Destiny, to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello.
Hey, what's your question, Destiny?
So, much like Mark, one of the previous callers, I was a Protestant as well the last time that I called in.
Oh, praise.
It's been such a blessing to me, so thank you.
Wow. Glory to God.
Praise God. Yeah, what a day.
I know, this is great.
Okay.
From an Assemblies of God background.
Oh, like my friend Tim Staples here.
Yes, from a strong Assemblies of God background. And so my family is still strongly Protestant. And beyond that, they're very anti-Catholic. And I've even been disowned by some of these family members, you know, say Catholicism is a cult and all these different things.
I've been exactly where you are.
Sad.
Yes.
Yeah. It's sad because they're fallen away Catholics, and they've received all of, you know, the sacraments, and they know what the church teaches, and they reject it, and they're not open to discussion.
Right.
So my question is, I think it's the catechism, right, that says, you know, if somebody by no fault of their own has never heard of Jesus, there's still hope for salvation.
Correct.
But my question is, what about fallen away Catholics who reject important church teachings and even persecute Catholics?
Yes.
I'm just kind of worried about what will happen to my family.
Yes, great
Absolutely.
Question. Yes.
This is a great question. And, you know, the beautiful thing about being Catholic, I can tell you, you know, when you look at, and I'm going to give you some homework here, Tricia. I give a lot of people this because it's so beautiful. Are you familiar with some of the documents of Vatican II, Tricia? Have you been introduced to that?
Some of them.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you homework. There's a wonderful document. To me, it's the I happen to be a devotee of all 16 documents of Vatican II, but Lumen Gentium to me is the masterpiece among them all. And in sections 14, 15, and 16, it lays out, Chris, I'm telling you, so succinctly, the Catholic position on how to approach everybody in the world. And Tricia, in section 14, there is a strong warning for Catholics. You remember this, Chris?
Yes.
I mean, it basically says there's no salvation outside of the outside of the Catholic Church. It says we're going to put this in a positive sort of definition and say anyone who knows the Catholic Church was established by Jesus Christ for salvation and refuses to either enter or remain in it cannot be saved. And then it says not only can they not be saved, but they will be held to the harsher judgment on Judgment Day. And so, yes, the reason why Jesus was so harsh, you know, Tricia, in places like John 8:44, you know, you're of your father the devil, he said to the Jews, remember? Well, that's because if you go back to verse 31, these were people who believed in him and had fallen away. And that's why he hammers them, you know, it's just Jesus, right? Jesus said it, you were of your father the devil. I mean, it's hard stuff, right? But even so, even though, yes, they will be held to a harsher account, we still cannot judge them. And the Vatican Council makes that very clear. If you keep reading sections 15 and 16, that even though the fallen away Catholic is in an undesirable state, you don't want to be there on Judgment Day, we still do not despair of their salvation because we do not know their hearts. Jesus knows their hearts. We don't know where their soul is now, and certainly God can reach them in ways you and I cannot even imagine before the day that they meet him in eternity. And then you go into chapters 15 and 16, and it talks about the relationship between us and Protestants and the Orthodox who are joined to us, albeit imperfectly, because they have valid sacraments. The Orthodox all seven, Protestants have two. And then in section 16, even atheists, we say we never despair even for them, because it's possible for them to have salvation as well. I wish I had more time. I don't, to give the particulars. But the bottom line is, never despair of their salvation. You love them with the love of Jesus, and let Jesus take care of their souls, okay?
Destiny, give your address to Edgar. We're going to send you a few books that are going to be helpful to you in your conversations with them. Tricia, Mary, Matthew, Joseph, hang on. Carlo Broussard in the second hour to answer your questions. 888-318-7884. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett. Catholic Answers Live, right back after this break.